This is a short vignette from Hoodoo Blues, the role-playing game, coming soon from Vaja Enterprises. The small canoe bumped into a muddy bank. Carl stepped out, his boot sinking several inches into the mud. Before him, on a small lump of island in the middle of the bayou, stood a small cabin, half supported by logs sticking into the muddy bank. Ancient trees, their branches obscured by curtains of Spanish moss, surrounded the cabin. A stair of rough-hewn logs led up to the front door of the cabin. As he slogged over to it, Carl noticed two lumpy forms on either side of the stairs. He jerked in surprise as he recognized them as two alligators. Their black eyes were staring directly at him. He took a slow, tentative step forwards. The two alligators lifted their heads an inch off the ground in perfect unison.
"I come in peace," he said to them. "I just want to give my respectful greetings to your master and, to beg him humbly for some advice."
The alligators lowered their heads. Slowly, expecting a lightning-fast attack at any second, Carl trod up the stairs. The log cabin was in poor shape. The windows were broken, only small shards of glass remaining in some of the corners. A faded blue tarp covered the window holes from the inside. The logs were pockmarked, looking bug-eaten and soft. The roof was covered in moss, with green shoots of taller plants growing up at odd angles. Carl knocked on the front door.
Mr. Beauchamp, sir? May I have a word with you, please?
Carl heard the tiniest whistling noise, and heard a heavy old lock turn with a rusty, scraping ker-chunk. Carl waited a second, and no other word came, so he took this to be his permission to enter. Carl turned the handle. The door did not open easily. The wood door had swollen into its frame, and Carl had to give it a hard jerk to get it open. Inside was very dark. With the dim light of day coming in from the door behind him, he could see shapes of tall cabinets, a potbelly stove, and a lone figure sitting in a high-backed chair facing the door. Carl stepped in, leaving the door open behind him. The door swung closed, and he was in near total darkness.
Mr. Beauchamp?
Gwa, a
gravelly voice demanded.
I'm sorry, Mr. Beauchamp, do you speak English?
Not when I can help it, said the voice in heavily Cajun-accented English. What you want, you?
Carl stepped in, leaving the door open behind him. The door swung closed, and he was in near total darkness.
Mr. Beauchamp?
Gwa,
a growly voice demanded.
I'm sorry, Mr. Beauchamp, do you speak English?
Not when I can help it, said the voice in heavily Cajun accented English. What you want, you?
Mr. Beauchamp, there's something down near Bayou La Fourche that's been killing innocent folk. I think it's been around for a long time, but something seems to have driven it into a frenzy. It's been killing nearly every night. I've tried all the protective hands I know, but nothing seems to keep it away from people's houses. I'm hoping, sir, that you might have some idea what it is.
Oui, said the voice from the chair. C'est un chien.
A chien?
A dog.
Sir, Carl said, holding his hands out in a gesture of apology, it's more than a dog.
Oui, more than a dog. Big chien, mean chien, view chien. I had to kill many dogs in my day. You want to put a wang in a man's yard, he got chien, you poison chien. Put prussic acid and a bit of chardon.
Is that how I should kill this thing? Poison?
Fine one, I talk about medicine man, if they any left. He tell you better than me.
I don't know if there are any left, sir, and time is running short. The sun is going down, and if I don't act soon, someone else is likely to die tonight.
People die, said la vie.
They don't have to, Carl pleaded.
The man in the chair let out the tiniest snicker.
Please, sir, just tell me something that will help me defeat this thing.
You know how to do the rogue dole, Wanga.
No, sir, can you tell me how?
The man let out an exasperated sigh.
I ain't your papa. You don't know no basics. I don't have the energy to teach you.
Well, who the fuck can? Carl demanded.
The man in the chair snapped his fingers, and suddenly every muscle in Carl's body cramped painfully stiff, and he stood bolt upright. Carl couldn't move and couldn't breathe. Carl's eyes had adjusted somewhat to the darkness. He could see the shape of the man in the chair rising slowly to his feet. The shape stalked towards him.
Watch your tongue, boy, he said, his voice a mixture of anger and boredom. Despite you lack of basic knowledge, you is most interesting visitor I have for some time, but I won't stand for any rudeness.
He stalked closer. He was close enough that Carl could make out the shape of a long beard and long curly hair. A hand, surprisingly warm and soft, grabbed Carl's wrist and yanked it up. The man spit into Carl's palm and closed his fingers around the spittle. The cramps ended instantly, and Carl sank to the floor, every muscle as sore as they had ever been. He drew in quick, deep breaths. When he looked up, the figure was back in his chair.
Now you hand smelling delicio. That chien gonna come from all over one you hand. If you's holding something, Trey Toxique, that chin's gonna eat your hand and go dead, t'car?
Carl slowly stood. He wiped away tears that were streaming down his cheeks. He gasped, "Thank you." As Carl left the hut, the man called,
"Come again, Joan Holm. If you're not dead, maybe you tell me some news de mon. Au revoir."
Wake up, mama, turn your lamp down low. Have you got the nerve to drive Papa Mactel from your door?